Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. And we've switched studios for our first local elections 2019 debates. And we're focusing on the Stranraer Municipal District this morning. We have in studio with us Councillor Martin Harley of Fine Gael, Manus Monaghan, Renew Ireland, Alamut Menemum Non-Party, Councillor Frank McBurtie, Fine Gael, Councillor Jerry Crawford of Fianna Fáil, and Michael D. Ward Non-Party. All of you, thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you. I do
appreciate it greatly. Maybe start with you, Alan. What do you think that you can bring to the party that those who are already elected around this table can't or haven't?
Well, bring to the council, not the party. Basically, I'm standing as an independent candidate, primarily because I'm not overly happy with the way things have gone traditionally within the area. I believe that we have more potential to do things. We haven't explored them. Those potentials, those opportunities. And basically, I think that what I'm getting on the doorsteps and the canvas and prior to the canvas is people's disaffection and disillusionment with the politics and with the political parties.
And how are you changing that? How would you change that?
Well, being an independent, it's all about being answerable to the people rather than in a party. So I will not be told by a political party what to be doing, what I should do, what I shouldn't say, and so on.
So you won't be voting in a pact with other Thomas Pringle-endorsed candidates?
No, well, what I'm saying is, as an independent, we're not answerable to our party. We're answerable to the people, okay, ultimately. And that, I suppose, makes us different from all the rest of them. Mm. You know, we have to look about our style of politics in this county and in, nationally as well. There is a cozy consensus there. But the focus needs to be on getting the job done, getting the work done for the people that actually need these things to happen for them. Currently, people are happy sitting back, taking the party line when it suits them.
All right. Well, Councillor Jerry Crawford, is that what you do? You sit back, take the party line, and you're pretty much, by Alan's reckoning, doing nothing.
Well, that would be Alan's reckoning.
Yeah.
And I think that in fairness, that no matter whether you belong to a party or not, you are answerable to the people. It's the people who decide whether you're returned or not. I've been returned on several occasions, so I put myself before the people, and the people have spoken and answered, and I'm happy that they have done that. I've been a party member. I'm a party member, Fianna Fáil. I've never had the party whip exercised in Lifford at any decision we took in the council of Lifford. And I've just been there, done my best, represented the people who sent me there, and I'm asking them to trust me and for to do the same again on the 24th of May, and respectfully ask them for their vote.
Mm. Michael D. Ward, as a fellow independent, would you share any of Alan McMenamin's views there?
Good morning, Greg, and to the listeners as well. Some of Alan's, of course I would, you know, and going out onto the doorsteps when you're talking to people, and more importantly, when you're listening to people, there is a disconnect from the ordinary people in the street to politicians. And it has become a sort of them and us sort of thing when you listen to people on the street, on the doors.
What I always find interesting, though, is that there is a disconnect, but people have the opportunity to go to council meetings and see how it works. I mean, have you been to many council meetings?
I've been to occasional in the past. I've been self-employed, so I'm trying to run a wee business.
What about you, Alan? Do you attend many council meetings?
I've been quite a few.
Okay.
And Greg, I'll give you an example, about the disconnect between people and the politicians. I was in the estate last night out canvassing on my own because I'm not affiliated to a party or any TDs or nothing. I'm an independent by proper standards.
So you're saying Alan's not a proper independent?
Well, that's up for people to decide themselves, not for me to decide.
Well, you've hinted
but
at it, though.
I was in an estate last night. It was handed over, and there was a minister there to hand it over there quite recently, Glenn O'Green, Youngstown Arler. Now, listening to the people there, there wasn't showers put into them houses. That was the first thing. Mm. But there's no phone lines in them houses.
How would you make a difference in the council?
Can I just finish? And this is highlighting the disconnect between politicians and the ordinary people in the street. There's no phone lines in them houses. They can't get broadband into them houses. And every politician in the county was there for the handover, for the picture opportunity. Mm. But them people are having bother now getting hold of local councillors. And that's not my opinion. That's what people tell me on the doorstep. And people actually want somebody to engage with them, an ordinary person to engage with them and talk on behalf of the people and not hide away when the election's over.
Are you familiar with this issue, Martin? Councillor Martin Harley, Fine Gael?
Yeah, oh, I know them.
You're not answering the phone when they try and ring you?
In fairness, none of them have rang me now since when the houses I've talked to, some of them since they went into the houses, and
but more generally, I mean, are you listening? I mean, is there a disconnect? Are you doing enough?
Well, I've been elected twice in the last two elections. I have my fourth election to run in, and I feel myself that, both when you go in originally, you feel you're going to change the world. You get to realise that it takes time to get things done. I feel we've done a lot of issues in the last 10 years that I've been there working with Jerry as well and Frank, and we all work together locally, and I think that's the thing about, we talk about parties in here, but really when you go into the council, it's all about working together.
Is that not the cosy consensus, though, that Alan was referring to?
I don't think it's a cosy consensus. There'll be issues that have come up in Lifford that we would support Jerry on. There'll be issues come up in Rafoe that we would support Frank on, and the same they would support issues in the Twin Towns, Killigordon, wherever it is, Glenfinn. Mm. So you work together when you get in there, and I feel we work very good as a council. We've had a great working relationship. Of course, there may have been an odd battle times, but that's part of it as well. You're not going to agree with everything.
Mm.
So there does be, you have to stand up for your area times, and you have to stand up for an issue that you feel is strong to you, and you feel it needs to be dealt with.
That's one of the 11 candidates contesting six seats. Manus Monaghan, Renew Ireland, a new party. What can you bring to the council, do you believe? And good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. I suppose, first of all, I'd like to say that there are things that I'd rather do than run for politics. I don't have a huge desire to be a politician, but I don't like the direction the country is going in. And I want my children to inherit a better country than the one that we seem to be heading towards. So I'm a new candidate for a new party, so I think most people I think that I speak to on the doorstep are happy for some sort of a change. And I suppose that's what I'm trying to provide a mechanism for that change to take place. I suppose part of the issue, I suppose, maybe with independents, is that they have less clout on a national level. So I think the parties are useful from that point of view, although I think we have been let down greatly by other parties on a range of issues. So if I do get elected, one of the things I want to focus on are family and community. So keeping the government out of family life, but holding on to services.
Is that a mandate for the Dáil and not for Lifford, though?
Focusing on family and community.
Well, no, but what you hope to achieve as a councillor in Lifford, is it achievable? What would you hope to actually achieve for people of the Stranraer Municipal District in Lifford?
What I'm trying to say is that I want to focus on family and community. So keeping government out of family life, but keeping services in community so that families have things to come around. Mm. So that could be Garda stations and local hospitals, but also public amenities like development of parks and greenways. One practical thing I suppose I'd like to see is the development of a greenway along the old Lifford Rafoe Letterkenny railway line. There's been great success with that similar project in Mayo and the Great Western Railway, which brought loads of economic benefits to local businesses there. So I'd like to see something similar done in Donegal. And I think it could be expanded even further all across the county.
Councillor Frank McBurty. Good morning to you.
Morning, Greg. Thanks for inviting me on the show. First of all, I don't agree with Alan's interpretation about the electorate. We're all accountable to the electorate. But people have to understand, when you are elected to Donegal County Council, you have to work your fellow members, because people don't understand the workings of the council. If you don't work with the fellow members of the council, you won't get nothing done in your local communities. And all politics is local. And local elections are about local issues. It's not about national issues. But the issue of the estate and Stranraer that Mick here was on about, I'm actually chairman of Housing and Carpet for the last 5 years. Mm. And the last SPC meeting that we had, we raised this issue about those houses that didn't have access to broadband and phone lines. And due to the death of the late Desi Larkin, it didn't actually get on to the last agenda for the last council, but I would expect it to be on the next agenda in the new council, because it came from a recommendation from the Special Policy Committee that I actually chair. So I'm hoping that issue will be resolved, but all politics is local. I mean, what do you call it? We have to sit down, we have to do a 3-year programme every 3 years for roads. We have to negotiate for different areas. If we don't have a good working relationship, with the likes of funding, the DFI fund, which is a very good fund that we've brought about together over the last 10 years, we sit down as six members, whoever they are, and we try and help as many community groups as possible. Because my understanding and my experience now, 10 years being in the council, and in particular my year as mayor, it's about cooperation. And it's about trying to get as much for the local community as possible.
What do you think about that, Alan? I mean, that, you know, you might go in there saying that you're going to change things, but at the end of the day, after all the dust settles, if elected, the people will expect you to sit down with your five fellow councillors and actually start delivering, not to try and upset the apple cart or, you know, try and introduce unrealistic change.
And your question is...
Can you work with five other councillors, or are you there just really to say, right, we need to do some change?
I don't know.
Or make some change?
It's not change for the sake of change, although that probably wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. I mean, we all have to work together, absolutely. You know, I don't think anybody's in disagreement with that. You know, what I've consistently said, though, that is whenever these political parties are saying that, you know, oh, well, you know, we'll work together, but ultimately we'll support all our national parties in terms of their implementation of the policy, which directly affects the local communities. And this is, you know, there's this kind of, there's no gap there. You know, they're all one and the same. You know, so we're all trying to work together, yes, on the ground. But I think, you know, if you're sitting in a house anywhere in the Fan Valley at the minute, what you want is the council to work for you. And what the people feel at the minute is it's not actively working for them.
Well, you're a Finn Valley councillor. Why aren't you working for the people of the Finn Valley by Alan's testimony?
Well, I feel personally over the last 10 years I've worked very hard for the Finn Valley on different issues. When we went into the council, when I went into the council 10 years ago, there would have been 31 housing estates within the Stranraer electoral area that that needed works done for them to be taken over by the council. And we have worked with... And the council with the housing board to get those states, as many of them, and up to shape as we can. We still haven't got that
but
completed.
He's still got quite a low proportion of roads funding, for example. I mean, what have Stranraer councillors done to try and get a fair crack of the whip in that regard?
Oh, no, well, in fairness, every December we go up to Dublin to the National Roads Authority, which is the TIA now, and we meet with them. And we've been, in fairness, Donegal, as far as... we've got a higher percentage of roads funding than any other county in Ireland this year, which is...
Do you think the Stranraer area is getting its fair share?
Oh, I think, well, we would love to get a lot more, and we would love to... there's so many roads out there that need to be done that we were still working on. But I feel that over the last 10 years since I'm there, that the standard of roads in the Stranraer electoral area are better than they were when I was elected.
Michael DeWard?
Yes, Craig. Well, Greg, I'd have no bother working with anybody in the council, but my priority would be to put forward what the people are asking about, you know. I mean, can I just go back to Glen na Grainne? A wee point I forgot there. I think it is relevant. Half of them houses don't have air codes yet. They don't have air codes yet. And I mean, like, I'm a Balla Buffet man from out past the Roadhouse originally. You know, when you look at Balla Buffet and you're chatting about work, you know, councillors working together to improve their area, Balla Buffet and Stranraer now are the top black spot in Ireland for vacant commercial units, shop units.
Now, it's been for a long time.
It's been for a long time. You know, I mean, you're the man asking the questions here, Greg, but I would like to ask the question, why has this not been addressed at council level?
Well, Terry Crawford, why? Like, what stops, you know, the issues that you're encountering? I'm sure Michael's
Greg,
like, all of you are encountering.
For a second, Greg.
Yeah.
I mean, being from Balla Buffet, I know a lot of the business owners in Navan Street and Main Street, and I've been there myself as well. You know, and I've argued this point for years. A half an hour free parking on street, you know, on street parking. Something simple to get to let people stop and spend a couple of quid in the town.
Well, on that, simple I mean, things. They managed to get rid of the parking meters altogether in Ballyshannon. There's free parking in Buncrana. There's free parking in Donegal Town. I believe it's to be introduced. You know, why is such an initiative not been introduced for the likes of the Twin Towns to give it a boost? I know that's not the area you're representing, but you are operating the council. It's your area more broadly.
Yeah, well, as you say, it's not. I'm not directly in Balla Buffet, but I will take the question fairly. That the parking charges that are collected in Balla Buffet, they go, they're spent in Balla Buffet. And Stranraer, they're not spent outside that particular area. And I don't, you know, sometimes if it wasn't for the parking charges in certain areas, the area would be congested with people who would park there and be there all day and create its own problems. So it's not all negative. And, you know, as regards the business, well, I'm not a businessman, and they all have their own reasons. Business is tight. It's tight everywhere, not just in Ballybofey. There is vacant premises in Ballybofey. There's no doubt about that. But the opportunity for those people, and we have a businessman here, may lie even outside the county, and other initiatives, because it is a problem. And if you don't have the footfall in the area, then you won't be able to support the businesses.
Councillor McPherty, do you think maybe there's a misunderstanding, not by the candidates, but even maybe by the public, as to, you know, what the council actually can, or what councillors can actually affect and change?
Well, councillors have a lot of power, and it's how you use that power. I represent everybody in the Stranraer Municipal District. There's not a person from any area that hasn't come to me over the past 10 years, and even outside my area, because of me experience with the law. I would give people advice constantly. I would get lawyers for people. I would recommend barristers for people. But when it comes to business, I come from a business background myself, but I give up the family business to go full time with politics. I help people with the problems with rates. That's just one example, but that's a legacy of the boom, what has happened in Ballybofey and Stranraer, these empty units. But I mean, the positive.
Some of the vacancies are massive in terms of.
There's a lot of positives in Ballybofey and Stranraer. Like, we are the centre of excellence for sport. Like, myself and Martin went to Dublin and met Minister Ring, and we came back and we delivered the swimming pool, along with the help of the other councillors that were lobbying along with us at the time. But me and Martin were actually the two councillors that actually went up. But Jerry, Patrick, and Cora Harvey at the time, that there was five councillors that time, we all participated in bringing over the line. And then we've got the new development now that's hopefully going to be built, the new AstroTurf pitch, and the town park facility that hopefully will get the planning permission for the town. Right. And all six councillors have worked together passionately, promoting those type of issues.
Manus,
that's local issues.
Yeah, Manus, you're important to that.
Well, I think there is a serious problem with rates. There's sort of something, it's a legacy issue from 20 years ago.
But we can't deal with that at local level.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, Frank. When you're asking local businesses to try and compete with online shops who pay no rates, it's so unrealistic. Like, if you have a closed shop, you can't compete with somebody online who's selling something for nothing and don't have these massive overheads. So there is, I agree, Frank, there is a broader issue there to do with the resources that have been taken away from local governments, and that's something that needs to change on a national level.
Alan, you wanted to come in there?
Yeah, well, just in terms of the commercial vacancy rates, and it's not just commercial vacancy, I mean, we have properties lying in every estate in the Finn Valley empty. You know, you're not chatting one house in every estate, you're chatting multiple houses. But just in terms of commercial vacancy rates, in 2018... Donegal 15%, 2014 Donegal 32%. So it's not actually going down in the county, and Ballybofey and Stranraer has gone up, and it's consistently going up. You know, so it's, can we do? You know, we can say that the reality is, right, we have vacancies all along the main street and in different parts of the town, and it's not about necessarily working together to do something. What we need to do is, though, come up with a plan, a proper plan, and act upon it.
There is an action group that has been established to address the vacant properties premises. I think that was announced there during the week. I'm trying to be as fair as I can to everyone, so if anyone feels they're not getting a crack of the whip, give me a punch or a nudge.
The only media that comes to our MD meetings is the Finn Valley Voice.
Fair play.
They don't see.
We do go to some of them.
No. I have to say.
Do you want me to tell you why? Because you put them all on at the exact same time. No, we can't.
Our MD meetings are not on the same time.
They're on the same day.
I'm going to tell you this now. If the public and the media came and seen the work that the councillors who are elected, that they do at the MD meetings. MD meetings are now where the work actually does happen. Not at full council, because it's actually too big. There's 37 members sitting in a room at a full council meeting. We get far more work done in our MD meetings, and I'm quite sure Jerry and Martin would agree with me on that point. Our MD meetings are probably the most important, aren't they, Jerry?
Yeah. It'd just be really good, and I've made representations to try and spread them out a little bit so we can get to more of them, because small businesses...
Well, we hold ours on a Tuesday, so just to let you know, the next Cheers. One, if we get lucky, if we get re-elected...
I look forward to seeing you there, Frank. I don't mean that. Why stop laughing? I actually mean it.
You'll see some proper debating.
Okay, good stuff. As opposed to this, well, it's not my fault.
No, I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about full council here are kind of curtailed because you're only two people allowed to speak on a motion.
I guess you, yeah, right. Well, does that need change? Well, we'll get back to that. I want to balance here sort of expectation and reality, and I don't mean that in any way. Like, you know, I mean, say, for instance, Councillor Martin Holly, you know the vacant properties, and I'll bring Michael in on this one as well and Jerry, but you know about the vacant properties. They're all over the place. Why are people seeing houses, people leaving, perfectly good kitchens and all dragged out, thrown into skips, and then the houses lying there for a year? Like, why are you, as a collective up there, not saying enough is enough, we need to knock this on the head and get people off the housing waiting lists and into these houses?
Yeah, there is, as Alan said there, I know from being out canvassing over the last few weeks, I know I've been in one particular estate, and there was 20 houses vacant out of 73.
Who's dropping the ball?
Well, you see, the problem is as well, a lot of, I think this debate was on earlier on your show this morning about that they have to be at a certain spec for the council to take them over and for the landlords to take them up to that spec. It could cost them anything up 10,000-15,000, and they feel, how long are they going to get till they get that back again? And a lot of them are offloading them.
So councillors, not as a collective, say, right, we as a collective here are going to pretty much compel the executive to, I don't know, get some sort of a derogation so that these houses can be at a livable standard and get people into them.
Yeah, there is. Like, I know people that have come to me looking for a house to say, we'll take the house the way it is. We're happy enough. Whatever work needs done on it, we'll do it ourselves. And unfortunately, it's like everything else in this country. Everything's down to insurance and different down to different spec. Mm. If anything goes
rules
wrong,
and regulations.
Rules and regulations.
Which your government's responsible for?
Well, I mean, I suppose a lot of it's been coming on down the years.
All governments. Doesn't matter what government's in, because at the end of the day, civil servants are actually running the country.
But do you think that's wrong?
Well, I think that at national level, I think that there should be more of an input by ministers, and I think Joe McHughes gave a good example of what he has done in the county and what he's delivered. And I think we need more ministers like Joe McHugh to actually deliver to counties like Donegal.
Michael DeWard, what would you give Minister McHugh out of 10?
Ireland.
Sorry? What would you give Minister McHugh out of 10 on his deliverance? He's a lovely man, don't get me wrong. I'm on about on his deliverance for Donegal.
I don't know most of these guys personally myself, Craig, to be honest with you, but most of the ministers, including Joe McHugh, there'd be a bad three or four.
No, that's not great. Well, Councillor Crawford, I mean, can councillors be doing more to address the issues? It's about housing. You know, we're going to be talking about St. Joseph's. It's about what to do with the writs. It's what, you know, and that's just in one area. I mean, of course, it's a broad, sprawling municipal district. But, you know, there's an awful lot of stuff that people seem to want that could be done if the will was there.
There's probably an awful lot of stuff being done too, you know, that if you're not from a particular area and see that particular thing, you don't know what's been done. The council has bought 35 houses in the Stranraer electoral area. To date, they've spent almost €5 million, in that regard. And the speed by which they now restore houses that they come in possession of as compared to maybe 3 years ago has drastically changed. Like, they have come in possession of several SA houses in the area recently, and they're actively working on them at the minute, bringing them up to a very high spec. There will be people, there will be a huge, because it's an area that has fallen away behind, as the people who are willing to supply their site and have an SA house, build a house out in the rural area. I think that's one aspect of housing that has certainly fallen behind and needs to be addressed.
One of the biggest issues in the last Dáil elections was the community hospitals. And I don't know, arguably we are further on, we're no further on. But we'll go around the table on this one to ensure but I mean, obviously a massive concern would be St. Joseph's Hospital. I mean, Manus, you know, how across that issue are you, and what do you think needs to be done there?
Well, there's three community hospitals, Greg, that are
at Lifford, of course,
Lifford and in Remelton as well.
That's a trick question, just to make sure you. No, go on ahead.
I was at the most recent march for St. Joseph's Hospital, which was very well attended. There was a notable absence from some of the national members of the Fine Gael party. It seems to be just a series of terrible mistakes. People deserve to be treated in their own community wherever possible. And I think in the case of Lifford Hospital, there seems to be a slowness in referring people on there. I've spoken to people who worked in there, and they'll often have empty beds, while in Letterkenny Hospital you have sort of upwards of 10 people on a trolley. Now, that's just an administrative issue. If you can move people off those trolleys into a ward and then move people maybe from the geriatric unit out to Lifford and treat them there, it seems to be just cruelty keeping people on a trolley while there is space in these other hospitals. Mm-hmm. And it's not occasionally, it's quite frequently they have empty beds. And my understanding of it is that if you have a hospital that looks like it's not full all the time, it's easier to shut it down. So if you're using a hospital an awful lot, it's harder to say, oh, we don't need that, because we clearly do, and we need all of our community hospitals. That said, they need a big input of money, okay, which has been promised in the past, but it seems to have been made up when it came down to actually looking for the money itself.
I don't know what your status is, Alan, currently with the is it Save Our Services or is it St Joseph's Community Hospital? I mean, it's changes as a couple. What do you believe the failings, if any, have been to date as it relates to? I think that hospital you've most have been interested in, although of course you'd comment on Lifford and Remountain as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, the two in our electoral area are Lifford and St Joseph's. Mm. I think they're dear to everybody's hearts, and there's a sentimental value there for a lot of people, but there's a fundamental thing around the funding of them. When they're going to be funded, if they're going to be funded, and when actual shovels go on to site to do whatever work's necessary. Lifford has had issues down through the years, and successive governments have failed to do anything about addressing issues there. There is different solutions out there, you know, and they're all being looked at. You know, I met with the Minister for Health when he visited Letterkenny, and we put down a roadmap for him about the difficulties the hospitals have. We've seen staffing levels in St Joseph's and in Lifford.
Do you believe work will be? Do you think? I know you're. Do you believe that St Joseph's has a future as committed to?
Absolutely.
By the government. But do you believe the government will follow through on that?
I believe St Joseph's has a future, and I believe, you know, Lifford has a future. Maybe in a different guise, maybe in different service levels, but I think they're both required. They're both needed. I mean, I had a meeting with the HSC.
How often does it come up on the doorstep?
It comes off fairly regularly.
As much as you'd expect?
Yes. You know, but again, and that's because of the affinity people have with the services. Again, when you're looking at these services, nobody wants to see any service lost in any area. You know, there is that feeling there. But we need to keep them. Okay. You know, they have a value. But the other thing about them, Greg, is these services, however good they are, they need to be expanded, because into the future we're going to require additional allied services to go into these places, St Joseph's and into Lifford. Mm. You know, up until
Do you believe
now,
the council has done enough to date, and then we'll move on to support the community hospitals campaign?
Well, I think there's certain councillors have definitely thrown their weight behind it to both hospitals and all three, including Remelton. There are other councillors who haven't.
Are any of them around the table?
Not at the minute.
Okay, that's
you know,
handy.
But again, you know, it's. I think it's dear. I mean, Jerry will give
well,
you his take.
I mean, there's a lot of frustration in Lifford, you know, isn't there? Because I think they feel they've been decoupled from the St. Joseph's Remelton issue when they're out on their own, you know, and they've been, you know, they're not part of the overall group anymore. And they're like, well, what's going on here? But I think we've had a little bit of more positive news recently. But I mean, it's a big issue for people. And what do you want to see done?
Well, I find it very hard to see anything positive as regards to Lifford. I think that what we're being shown in Lifford is a smokescreen. And, you know, as regards St Joseph's, the numbers have been reduced. There is a future for St Joseph's, but what we're afraid of happening up there is that the numbers are reduced and some of the services are reduced. But to be specific about Lifford, what the standard reply that we get, you could type out the reply, ask the question, and then look, and you already know the reply is, they look at the census post 2021.
Well, that's a classic case of kicking the ball down the road.
This is a smokescreen because the census and the last census showed an increase in the population, the age population of 19.1%. Mm. Now, 19.1% of an increase won't be able to be catered for with the facilities that they're proposing at the minute. So there is a proposal for Letterkenny, and that has been set back by a number of beds as well. So what the major concern is in Lifford. We have asked them straight out if the figures and if the configurations of the HSE dictate that the services are needed, will they move, if necessary, either in the existing building or in a greenfield site, will they commit to the future of a facility in Lifford? And the answer has just been we'll see what happens. And that's that.
Do you believe that your party has used its influence enough as really effectively the government's facilitator to actually push these issues across for Donegal? Because Fianna, I think your leader has signed a letter saying if in government, Fianna Fáil will throw open the checkbook for.
Well, you're 100% correct, and he has. And you know, if somebody makes a commitment, no matter what party they belong to, should it befall that Fianna Fáil's back in government, you know, personally would be saying that they must do that, and if they didn't do that, then it would have consequences, and they'll take the consequences and move.
Councillor Frank McBurtie Jr.
Well, first of all, the community hospitals, and everybody knows my views, they're very, very important, but I'm very saddened that the community hospitals didn't stick together as a group of three, because they're more powerful as a group of three. That's the first thing I'm disappointed about. But I'm very passionate about both our community hospitals. But the issue here is that the actual groups that are fighting for Balbofay and Stranraer, which is St Joseph's, and Lifford Hospital, those are the people who are actually responsible for those hospitals still staying open. When I was mayor of the county, I was told by the HSE when I was a member of the Western Health Forum, which Jerry sits on for the last 5 years, and he'll tell you how frustrating it actually is, that they were going to close Lifford Hospital. But the Lifford Community Hospital Group have actually kept that hospital open. But we as councillors have actually spoke up verbally. We've been on your shows, we've been in the local media, and as Jerry is just after alluding to, our older age population is increasing.
But is it difficult for you, Frank, as a member now of a governmental party, in that, you know, a lot of the frustration, it's because Fine Gael's in power at this time. It could be.
I feel I have a stronger position now to lobby even more, because that's what it's about. Mm. It's about lobbying Joe McHugh, it's about lobbying the Minister for Health, and it's about lobbying the Taoiseach. To actually put the funding in place for these community hospitals. Because these community hospitals are saving the community money.
And
also allowing families to get respite to allow their families to go into places that they trust.
Michael D. Ward.
Thanks, Greg, these are called community hospitals. That's for a reason. It's people in the communities that these hospitals are benefiting. You know, it's the care and services in these community hospitals is for the local community. I mean, I was at a few doors over the last couple of days canvassing, and you know, people are telling you that St Joseph's can't be let go in Balbofay and Stranraer area. They can't be let go because there's elderly people in there getting the best of care, and their families are on the doorstep. And that them, some of them elderly people might never get out of St Joseph's again. God bless them. But their family are there, their family are beside them. You know, if these hospitals are done away with and relocated somewhere else, their family's not going to be able to spend the same time. So it's about people. Mm. It's about ordinary people. You know, and the standard of them older people's lives for their last months or years is improved when their family can be with them on a daily basis and for an hour's visit. That's why them hospitals can't be let go. And it's down to Martin's party. Well, Frank, sorry now as well. He's Fine Gael now as well. And Jerry, who Fianna Fáil. It's the budget has to come from national government, and the local councillors have to come together, and whoever's elected onto the council, there has to be a common consensus that the council lobby, whatever the government minister of the day is, the guy that's going to keep these hospitals open with the budget.
Is the council lobbying strong enough on this issue?
Sorry, Greg.
Yep.
And I would ask the councillors here now from the parties that are in government and supporting the government, if these hospitals are done away with, I mean, where do they stand with their parties then?
Martin Harley? You've already threatened once this year to leave Fine Gael. Would you threaten it again if the community hospital was shut?
Well, I mean, the community hospital, in fairness to all six councillors were at the march, the last march, St Joseph's.
I was in London.
I think you were alluding to Joe McHugh.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yes. Yeah. No. Well, Joe McHugh was in China at the time, representing the government, when there was a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have went with him as well.
Well, it was the LYIT was doing a twinning event.
He's going to Dubai in the summer.
With a twinning event. With a college in China, so
with the LYIT,
we'll talk about that.
The greatest respect, can we focus on the hospitals issues that we're talking about?
Really called. It's not fair. That trip is a very important trip.
The LYIT
is doing an awful lot of work, doing what he called partnerships with different universities. Boston is an example.
That's the China trip. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
No, the community hospital. I mean, I've been on the St. Joseph's committee, and I've missed very little meetings over the last 5 years.
Are you frustrated with your government? Let's get this cut to the chase.
I'm frustrated with the whole issue of it, that it should be sorted. It needs to be sorted.
So who's dropping the ball? Is it Minister McHugh? Is it the HSE? Is it the head of the HSE? Is it Minister Simon Harris?
Well, the last talk that I had with a member of the HSE was that at the moment there are 3 community hospitals getting renovations done. Mm. And when those are completed, the next phase then will include St. Joseph's and Remelton. Lyfford, as we know, is a different situation. They're looking at a greenfield site, and fairness to the council, the council have offered, as Jerry knows, have offered a greenfield site if the money is put in place, maybe through a public-private partnership or whatever way they want to do
after
it.
After 2021, though, that's the problem.
Yeah, well, see, it probably will be 2021 before the other community hospitals, all the work's completed on those, so that's the time frame we're looking at.
ICWA and the HSE are the biggest problem. It's not government.
But it's not the boss.
It doesn't matter what government is in power. The HSE, and Jerry will tell you about the frustration that he gets when he goes to the meetings in Galway. The HSE and the HICWA reports have been a huge thorn in the side.
Like
of
a pathwork to closure. Yes.
The money spent on the children's hospital surely could have been directed towards local hospitals as well.
Manus Monaghan, you're saying that money is being squandered on a national level that should be focused in local areas. I'm not putting words in your mouth.
Yeah, well, I suppose if you're saying that it's the HSE and HICWA, which I accept, Frank, they are an issue, but money, there's massive amounts of money being spent on other issues which Simon Harris notionally was in charge of. I think it doesn't stack up that Simon Harris there is an issue.
Alan
well, as everybody around the table should know, HICWA hasn't been a problem for any of the community hospitals, because they have passed every inspection.
Did it not make the amount of beds not have to be reduced?
There was a derogation.
I don't agree with that interpretation of HICWA's report.
You know, let me finish my point.
You say HICWA has not been a problem for community hospitals.
No, no, no. What I'm saying is HICWA have come up with various regulations that the Minister, Simon Harris, is able to say yes or no to. He ultimately has the pen that can strike across it. All these hospitals have passed all the HICWA inspections, and they've been shown consistently to do very well in all the hospitals. Lyfford has been very, very good, and so on.
Councillor McBurney, you're
in terms of the money, that has been, a successive governments have not given the funding to the hospitals.
Councillor McBurney, why are you shaking
your
head?
I'm a whole face, along with Martin, as and Jerry, and the council.
As am I.
And I'm not disputing. As a member of the council, you're not a member yet of the council. Hopefully, maybe you will be, but what do you call it? As a member of the council, the HICWA reports have been a serious issue. HICWA was set up, in my opinion, to close these community
hospitals. Well, who set HICWA?
Well, previous governments, and I'm not going to start blaming parties,
right?
Because
but we can't detach ourselves from allegiances. Though,
the problem in politics in Ireland is the blame game. We have to move forward, and we have to work as a community together.
Jerry, do that you is exactly, this one again? I just
that's exactly out. What the community hospitals are actually doing.
Okay. Are you leading more towards what Alan has to say or what Frank McPurch has to say?
My own personal view on this is if you have a body that's set up for the set and oversee standards, it's very hard to criticise a body if it equal among equals, that it works out, that it's overseeing a policy for the betterment of the services that's been provided. But the problem is that where HICWA saw anything that needed changed, and I have to say, in fairness, the reports for Lyfford Community Hospital has been fairly good.
Yeah.
But if you take what it allows, then it also prohibits certain aspects. Okay. And that prohibition is working against the hospitals. And yet I have been to Galway, and I've also been to meet the minister in Dublin on the hospitals myself personally with the delegation. Met several ministers now, but I've been to Galway and I've observed rightly or wrongly.
So I think a lot of people at home will be listening to this and saying, we've heard all this before, but what actually we need is a shovel in the ground or something happening. We have to take a break. We'll be back with more in a few moments.
At the Allingham Arms Hotel, Bundoran, this Friday 10th, there's social dancing with Michael Cleary. On Saturday the 11th, there's Patrick Feeney. Coming attraction on Saturday 18th, it's Jim Devine and Big Chief Noel Gritty and the Indians. On Friday 24th, there's social dancing with Dermot McConnell. On Saturday 25th, it's Derek Ryan. And Sunday 26th of May, Philomena Begley. Follow the crowds to the Allingham Arms Hotel, Bundoran.
Hi, I'm Derry Murphy, Super Value store owner. All things considered, Super Value is the place to fill your trolley with great offers in our steak and wine sale. Save 33% on fresh Irish fillet, strip line and ribeye steak, and buy any 6 bottles of 75cl wines and save €10. All things considered, it's Super Value. Enjoy alcohol responsibly.
House to Home Interiors, now open at Devlin's Complex Bridge End. Great savings on suites, beds, mattresses, dining and occasional furniture. That's House to Home Interiors, now open at Devlin's Complex Bridge End.
Boostprint election specials for canvas cards, election posters, lapel and car stickers, badges and more. At great value, contact Boostprint, Port Road, Letterkenny on 917-7955 or see boostprint.ie.
For reliable and affordable servicing for your Mercedes-Benz, call Conley's Mercedes-Benz Sligo, where servicing starts from only €199. Call us today on 071-910-6900 or visit conleys.ie. Conley's Mercedes-Benz Sligo, giving you the best or nothing in servicing.
Riker Footwear blend fashionable styles with incredible comfort, and you'll find the largest selection in the Northwest at McGarrigle Shoes, Letterkenny. The stylish Riker range for men and women strike the perfect balance between fashion and practicality. Every Riker shoe is designed and built with the Riker features and benefits that make them a step ahead of the competition. Try Riker Footwear today at McGarrigle Shoes, Main Street, Letterkenny. Riker, the anti-stress shoe.
At Topline, we're turning up the heat from May 2nd to May 12th with a sizzling summer sale. Sit back and relax on the Sienna 6-seater furniture set, now only €389. That's a massive saving of €210. Tidy up with the Pro Plus petrol trimmer, now only €79.99. And feast your eyes on the Landman 3-burner gas barbecue, now a tasty €159. Get summer ready with loads more great offers in your local Topline now. Visit topline.ie to find your local participating store.
At Hickey, Clark & Langan Insurance Brokers, we compare quotes from all the leading insurers so you get the best price possible. Home, motor and van, farm, holiday home, travel and liability insurance, we quote them all. If the worst happens, we'll make sure you're covered. For the most competitive quote, low call Hickey, Clark & Langan on 1890-266-888 or call into us at Ballybacool, Letterkenny. Hickey Clark & Langan General Insurance Limited, trading as Hickey Clark & Langan, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Chagask Donegal are holding two suckler breeding events on Wednesday 8th of May in the Mulroy Woods Hotel Milford and on Thursday 9th of May in Angrinnan Hotel Burt at 8 p.m. and all are welcome.
Your voice, your station.
Okay, lots of comments coming in from those listening. All elected representatives say Sokola should meet regularly with all locals on relevant issues. Another, all constituents must keep clamouring for retention of these hospitals with the support of local councillors, regardless of national party policy. Another, no one has come to my door yet and I live in an estate. They're quite happy to put literature through the letterbox. Someone's missing a trick there. The plan to close St. Joseph's has long been decided. All you have to do is enter the day rooms plug, already in place for offices and has been for the last few years. And another, I think it's time for change in the local election. Feel there's been no change over the past 5 years. There's no one there for the people anymore. Time to get a progressive independent in who is for the people and will make changes happen. Has no one noticed the streetlights being out between St. Joseph's and Mackay's Corner? Why is nothing being done or even spoken about that? See, that's a kind.
I've reported them to electricity. There's a number of lights actually in the Fun Valley that have been reported. So,
okay. And there's actual.
The council have a direct line through their staff to electricity.
And there's also a number on each light, isn't it, that people can report them themselves?
Well, I actually spoke to the engineer who actually goes out and fixes them. So,
okay. Manasa, is your pro-life stance an issue? Do you think that's one of the strongest feathers you have in your bow?
I suppose it's not really a local issue. It has come up a number of times on the door, I suppose.
But what happens? We do see sort of, you know, local referenda on sort of national things. So it's, I presume it will be some indication as to how people might vote.
Oh, indeed. Like, I suppose it's come up maybe five or six times on the door. I suppose like people do care about it, and a lot of people, I suppose, who voted to protect the life of the unborn child were hurt by the referendum and were frustrated by the result. And I suppose we're also frustrated by the consensus between the parties on it. But I suppose it's difficult to see how it's something you can affect as a local councillor. I suppose certainly you could put things in place to look after women who find themselves in crisis pregnancies, which is certainly something I'd be interested in trying to do. And that we're not just offering people this sort of terrible solution and then sending them on their way. I think we need to look after people as soon as they're born. And there already is some community groups who are doing great work on that and collecting supplies for people so that the financial burden of having a baby is reduced.
Okay. Anyone else want to come in on that particular issue? It's just someone wanted to ask you directly. Go on, Frank. Yeah.
Everybody knows my clear position that I'm pro-life, but the referendum's over, and that was the proper way to do it, was put it to the people.
Mm.
The referendum clearly stated that people want to change. The only other way to change that is another referendum. But it's not for local politicians, that issue.
But I think people...
We can lobby.
I know what you're saying, Frank, but I think want to understand...
I made it clear, my position, and many debates in this room...
Over the years.
My personal position on the issue of abortion...
Why did you join the pro-abortion party then?
If you let me finish.
Sure.
What do you call it?
It's a decent question, so you might get around to that as well.
I won't get around to it, but I'll tell you, I have to explain my position. My personal position is pro-life. The issue is that there was a referendum and most of the political parties supported it. I have no control over national politicians because I'm a local politician. And
with respect, you did say earlier on, though, that you're better within the party because you can lobby on certain issues.
But you see, what people don't understand, they didn't need a referendum because the professional people within the HSE who have doctorates and everything else can't... I mean, I've learnt myself to proofread. They didn't need a referendum because the right to life and the protection of life was already enshrined in the Constitution.
Okay.
So what do you call it? From that point of view, I blame doctors that actually didn't act in cases that they should have acted on, led us down a road to a referendum on abortion.
All right, Michael, did you want to comment on that?
Yeah, well, it's actually an issue that has been raised a good few times in the door with me, Greg.
What's your stance then? We might as well ask that question.
Well, I think we've become sort of, is it pro-life or pro-choice?
That was the question.
Yeah, but I don't think it's black and white. You know, I would be anti-abortion on demand. And if you actually go, I'm not a barrister, but I know a couple of barristers that have actually commented on this. If you actually go into the referendum, we were sold a pig in a poke by the political parties. Because if you go into the real nitty-gritty legal, and Magnus might know better this than me, because his party are very much pro-life. If you go into the nitty-gritty, the legal details of it, we basically have abortion on demand.
Okay, well, because of the referendum arguments. I take your point.
It was the big political parties selling the people a pig in a poke.
Is that coming up for you an awful lot, Councillor Harley? I mean, do you want to state your position on it?
Well, I mean, I've only had, I think, one person on the doorstep that mentioned that issue. Suppose as a political party, the Fine Gael and People in Power give the people the opportunity to vote on it, make a decision on it, and it's up to everybody out there then to vote on it. But my own personal view on it, I didn't campaign for it or against it, and anybody asked me, I said, that's my own personal beliefs, what I believe myself, and I'm not going to put it down, shove it down nobody's throat. Everybody's own belief on that there. I thought it was a very personal issue. Unfortunately, every day, there were girls leaving these shores, going to Liverpool, going to London.
So you think we're in a better position for the outcome of the referendum?
Well, I think that there's a choice there of people. Okay. And at the same time, I would like to see more service put in place that if the women want to keep the children, that they can keep them.
Councillor Jerry Crawford?
Well, like I said before, Fianna Fáil had a free vote of conscience on that issue. Nobody within Fianna Fáil approached me either way. good or bad, as I have said before, the whoop thing has never arisen with me. My own conscience tells me that I should be pro-life. I voted for pro-life, but people would have other opinions, and they're entitled to those opinions, but that was my opinion, and I can't change it now. That's
all right. Alan McManam, you're affiliated with people that thought that the regulations and the restrictions actually were too restrictive. What is your personal view? And is it coming up much for you? Because it's still a live issue in a county that voted no.
It's not coming up as a major issue. I've canvassed nearly 3,000 doors now, and I've had one door mention it to me. In terms of everybody else's opinion, yes, I've always been of the opinion that no matter what we do in life, we have choices. And one of those, whenever it came to around the repealing the 8th and of the Constitution, and I chose to support that. The one thing that it did show me was that there was people out there who were for and who were against. Mm. And you could clearly identify who was for and who was against. I have to say, again, and this is a personal opinion, the vast majority of the political parties went into hiding. Local representatives did not come out and make it clear what way they stood on it. But again, there was people on the no side and people on the yes side. And they had the courage to stand up for the principled beliefs. And in fairness to them, you know, I think we've had that referendum. There's a lot of things going on.
Yeah, but
in the background,
but see, people don't want to talk about this. But this is how a lot of people will vote based on
and that's
on
fine. And that's
so
fine.
We can't say to the public
as
we've
far
had
as
the
I'm
referendum.
Concerned,
don't
as
far consider
as I'm
that.
Concerned, though, in terms of what the local authority do, in terms of the bricks and mortars, the bread and butter issues.
It's not that simple.
You know, well, it's a national policy issue.
Okay.
In terms of the local authority. It is a bricks and mortar thing.
Right,
it's the bread and butter issues that we're here to discuss. And
well,
but
you can't set the agenda because people text in en masse asking what people's views
and that's
are.
Fine.
Do you understand that?
One of the things about it was, you know, of nearly 3,000 doors that have canvassed, one person has mentioned it to me.
Okay, that's fine.
So
that's
the vast majority, 99% of the people, are talking to me about roads, are talking to me about housing, employment, infrastructure, all those things.
Right.
That seems to be the overriding.
Just a minute for each, if you want. I mean, we'll start with you, Councillor Crawford. You know, why do you believe people should vote for you? Do you want me to go to someone else while you...
No, I'm fully convinced.
You're 15 seconds in now, Kirk.
Yeah. Well, like on May the 24th, I again respectfully asked for the support and trust that has given to me on numerous occasions. And since I've been first elected to the council, I have worked to the best of my ability to serve the people in there I represent. Anyone who sought my assistance was given it. I may not have been 100% successful, but I've given my 100% effort to it. You know, I'm a rural-based councillor with experience of rural issues, and I think that, you know, I have done my best to represent the people on multi issues that have been raised with me, and my record in Donegal Council stands. If anyone wishes for to have a copy of it, I can give them that, what's on record. And I'm just asking for the same trust and support on May the 24th, and I hope that they'll once again vote Crawford number one.
Good man. Before, Frank, just a question for you, and this is not a loaded question. Has your moving from independence to Fine Gael, from your canvassing, do you believe it's worked in your favour, or is it a challenge that you have to overcome?
No, I think it's worked big time in my favour. I'm getting a very good response, actually even a better response than the last time.
Why do you believe people should give Frank McBurtie Jr. their number one?
Well, first of all, I'm experienced. I have 10 years of experience in the council. I'm an honest politician. I'm always available, no matter what time of night it is. I have people who come to me home. I have an office there. People call into the pub. But the most important thing is, I'm Frank McBurtie. I haven't changed, even though I've joined a political party. And by joining that political party, who I've had an association with going back to 1999 with Jim Higgins, I feel that I'll even be a stronger politician if I'm re-elected. But not only that, I will be able to deliver quicker than as an independent. I had 5.5 years in the council, and I was very frustrated. Minister McHugh, I'd been on to him several times during my term as an independent, and he has delivered certain projects in the Finn Valley, which is the new Lyfford, the Northern Municipal District, And that is what it is about for me, is delivering to my community, okay. which stretches from St. Johnstone the whole way to Glenfinn, Clohan, Bracca, Stranraer, Ballafay, Drumkeen, Conwy, Killigarden, Raphoe, etc. And I mean, I'm Frank McBurdy, and I'm still Frank McBurdy, and I'll never change. But what I will say is that I'm more calmer person now than I was 10 years ago.
Okay.
Because of the experience, because of my background, and because of the promotion that I've done for mental health.
Okay,
and mental health is a top priority for me in this county.
Key tranches as mayor, of course.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Frank. Michael DeWard.
Thanks again, Greg. Well, listen to me, I'm standing as an independent. The support I got around the Fun Valley area, and especially my own hometowns, Belfast and Arnor, to run as an independent, because people are disillusioned with political parties. There's no doubt about that. And I have made a couple of promises to the people of my area. I will, if elected as a councillor, I'll go down and I'll try my best for my the local people, the ordinary people. And number two, and this is resounding with people, people are engaging with this. I have given people my word that I will be a truly independent voice. I'm not going to be no puppet for a TD or a political party, and I will not sell that out by joining a political party. If I'm elected as an independent candidate, I will stay firm as an independent candidate to represent the people. And my own hometowns, Belfast and Arnor, they need a kickstart. It maybe be unfair to say they're dying on their feet, but they're certainly not progressing.
Okay.
We have zero tourism in the Finn Valley. Frank mentioned their mental health issues. I'm training myself to be a councillor at the moment. That's something that's dear to my heart, you know. And I just want to get in there and represent the ordinary people,
okay,
because they feel that they're not, they have no voice.
Okay, Councillor.
Thanks for your time, Greg.
No, thank you for calling in, by the way. It's very much appreciated to all of you. Councillor Martin Harley, Fine Gael.
Yes, Greg. Well, I feel over the last 10 years been in the council, I've worked very hard for the people of the Finn Valley, all throughout the Finn Valley. We have been working on different projects. In the next 5 years, I've re-elected again the 24th of May. I would like to progress like the town park, which is in coming forward now. We have a lot of roads being done. That are going to be delivered by Fine Gael. That have 10 million spent on the road between Ballybuffet and McGorry Spray over the last 3 years, which has been delivered by Fine Gael. And I feel being within Fine Gael that we can deliver more. And with the bypass coming, there's going to be a lot of debate on the bypass, which is 60 years since 1960 this has been talked about.
That might be an issue for the next council, though. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it probably still will be okay, there, but, yeah, but I know there's a lot of work to be done with the residents, the landowners that I'm working on at the moment to try and get them the best possible outcome.
Okay, Manus Monaghan Renua.
I live in Lifford with my beautiful wife and my two hilarious children. I'm a young guy with a young family, and I think, as I said earlier, there's things I'd rather do than run for a political party. But I want my children to inherit something better than I got, and I want us to get something better than the direction that we seem to be heading in. And I hope that I can do that. The constituency that we're all running in is very competitive. It's all about number one votes. And so I'm looking for your number one vote on the 24th of May.
All right. And finally, Alan McManaman.
Well, Greg, I'm just basically appealing to the electorate in the Finn Valley area that they need to vote for a credible independent candidate. They need to look at me in terms of overall political parties and the politics of the last 30 years, the promises and the failed promises and all the rest. People need to look at that there. If they're happy with things falling behind in their area, and it's housing, it's hospitals, it's all those critical issues, they need to be looking at me. They need to be voting for me number one. And there is no promises from me, because I've had promises from all the political parties, bar none, all my life, and it hasn't worked. What I need people to do now is move away from the traditional voting patterns and to say, right, we're going to go now with credible independents, somebody who's going to be progressive, not just for Ballyfeynes and Arnor, but the whole entire Finn Valley.
All right, but I might do that at the start of the next debate rather than at the end.
There's one footnote.
It's not really fair, and I have to.
Have an apology to make. To all you people out there, that I'm not going to get knocking on your doors.
Oh, right, okay.
I don't have the support.
It's over. Listen, fair play to you. Look, God loves a trier. Listen, all of you, I wish you the very, very best of luck. It's a big undertaking to put yourself forward for the council. And thank you very much all for coming in.